Here it is!
From deep inside your audio device of choice.
Ladies and gentlemen, this week's show is a recording of a live musical event that occurred just a little while ago. A musical salon at a place called the Macaroni Palace in New Orleans, Louisiana, featuring some absolutely crazy good musicians and starring a woman I know a little bit, the fabulous Judith Owen.
I made these very, very famous songs, Smoke on the Water, Black Hole Sun, these things we all know and love so much, Summer Nights. I made them about my life because ultimately it is all about me, as it is for every performer. And if they don't admit that they're a bottomless pit of need, then you can take it to the bank that they're a lying sack of shit. And you know, how I started, I loved rock as a kid. I loved rock. I loved it. Really, really spoke to me. And there was so much power in it, and I loved the idea of feminizing it, making it female, but it speaks so much about my life. And then here we are again. And I'm starting one more time with rock, because it really does say so much about who I used to be, who I am still, and the fight and the journey and the everything that we all go through, male, female, it doesn't matter. And I'm very happy to say that the writer of this song is very, very pleased that I did this to his song. Rising up back on the street, I did my time, I took my chances. When the distance, now I'm back on my feet, just a woman and a will to survive. It's the eye of the tiger, the thrill of the fight, rising up to the challenge of our rival. And the last known survivor stalks his prey in the night, and he's watching us all with the eye. The tiger. So many times it happens too fast, you trade your passion for your glory. Don't lose your grip, the dreams of your past. You must fight just to keep them alive. It's the eye of the tiger, the thrill of the fight, rising up to the challenge of our rival. And the last known survivor stalks his prey in the night, and he's watching us all with the eye. Thank you, music fans. I always had this thing growing up, I think many of us do, that it is better not to love than be hurt. Took a very, very long time to figure that one out. When you have lost and been hurt so much, it feels like a pretty good idea. Thank you. yourself, you always live your life, never ever thinking of the future. Well, prove yourself, you are the move you make. Take your chances, win or losing. You don't want a chance that you've been hurt before. Owner of a lonely heart. Owner of a lonely heart. Owner of a lonely heart. It's better than an owner of a lonely heart.
I should introduce these amazing men that are standing. When I say men, they're boys. They're boys. So the musicians are boys till they die. There's this great joke where this kid says to his father, "Dad, when I grow up, I want to be a musician." And the father says, "Well, you can't do both." And so I introduce to you, on percussion, my favorite, can I say it, Pedro? Can I say it all the way from Lisbon, Portugal, my favorite lesbian, Mr. Pedro Segundo. The man next to me has been locked in this house for 5 days now doing these songs. I'm so happy to introduce my dear partner in crime, the fabulous and legendary Mr. Leland Sklar. You know, the thing I thought as a kid, I'm sure many of you would agree with this, is that I hated how much I felt all the time, because I was a very dark person. I am still a very dark person. You've probably noticed with what I've done to all these songs. They started out really incredibly happy and up and positive. But you know what? Joy is something, you know, is a temporary thing. But sadness and depression and struggle, that's something you can build a life on. I hated that I felt so much. All the feeling made me write the songs, of course. That was so great. That's what it all came from, was the feeling and the pain and the fear. And yet, the illness that gripped me, it didn't make it all worthwhile. It didn't make the music better. It didn't make it okay at all. But it did make for some great writing, as it still does. Especially if I don't take my meds. And, you know, the queen of understanding, you know, how it feels to be bruised too easily, too quickly, unable to deal with life on a day-to-day basis. The queen of that, of course, is Saint Joni Mitchell. There's nobody that sums up being bruised and being addicted to things in life for the good and the bad. Nobody does it better than her, so that's why I had to do this song. And it's called Moon at the Window. Betsy's blue
she says, tell me something good. You know, I'd help her out if I only could. Sometimes the light can be so hard to find. I guess looking at the window, the thieves left that behind. People don't know how to love. They taste it and they toss it. They turn it off and on like a bathroom faucet. Sometimes the light can be so hard to find. At least the moon at the window, the thieves left that behind.
I love Australians. You know what I mean? They're just like looser Brits. And please welcome to the chair, the fabulous Mr. David Blankhorn. Woo! All right, mate, you're totally at home here with us, okay? Yeah, no worries, mate. Now, here's the thing about America, what it means to me. I'm an immigrant. We're all immigrants. Every last one of us. And when I was living in London, just got there as a little girl from Wales, from coal mining Wales. This is like real Wales now, okay? None of your Green Hills rubbish. This is true South Walian hard men are men and sheep are scared type stuff. And so I went to London and I didn't fit in and everybody treated me like I was an outcast, and me and my sister, all of us, because we didn't speak like them, and I had red hair, and I was Welsh, and that just shows you in a tiny country how ridiculous it gets that to be in a tiny spot like Britain, you can be as hateful towards people who live just a matter of hundreds of miles away, let alone, you know, thousands. And something amazing happened. We moved to London because my father was an opera singer, a very successful opera singer at Covent Garden. And so that was, of course, opened my mind up to so much. Then he played me a record that he'd got when he was a child. He played me a record of Jelly Roll Morton. And I could not believe what I was hearing. And our house was filled with the blues and jazz and gospel and all, everything that was black music, but so much from this city. It's crazy. But that's exactly what happened. And in my naivety, because I'm also a film buff, you know, I'm an old movie buff. So I'm not old, but, you know, I'm a movie buff of the old, I love the old ones, yeah. So I would watch all those Mr. Deeds Goes to Washington and all those, you know, things of like Upright Guys and Jimmy Stewart and all these people that go and they're the righteous and they do the right thing for man and the everyman and Gary Cooper and everything. I believed it all, you know, you kind of do. Because we all look at America, believe me, just remember this. Everybody looks at America back in Europe, everywhere around the world, and they still see it as being the place of second chances and opportunity where people can actually become American and not be seen as being, you know, this or that or anything, you know. That's how we see it, or that's what we thought. But that is the dream, isn't it? That was it. It still is, damn it. Yeah, so without getting on the soapbox, which I just did, so I wrote this. Here's a little bit of Wales for you.
Just gotta get this sitting in the right place. I got to do this properly. I'm sorry, guys. It was such a beautiful intro. And I just blew it, didn't I? Just blew it entirely. Here we go. When I was young and London bound, and the taste of coal dust still in my sound, the loss of leaving distant star, to the music that would stir my soul, when across the sea came Jelly Roll. So when grainy pavements took their toll, well, I dreamt of America, and I saw the plains, heard the whistling trains, and I dreamt of the cowboy underneath an open sky, and I watched those tales of the men who rose wind in their sails, the every man who would prevail, and I dreamt of America, and I saw the plains, heard the whistling. And I dreamt of the cowboy underneath an open sky. And when I recall what used to be, when I was lost, a ship at sea, and all that this land meant to me, well, I dreamt of America. I still dream of America. Makes sense, doesn't it? Anyone crying? Good. My job is done. Yeah, we're barreling through you. We're halfway through. This is ridiculous, you know. Oh, boo, boo. Oh, who said that? So let's just go back to me in London. This is the train of thought, who I used to be, what I was dreaming. There's me dreaming of America. And guess what? I then just, you know, I was always with the wrong man, you know, until... I was always with the wrong man. So these next two songs are really about that time. And they're music from that time. And they're music about love gone awfully wrong. So let's just all remember those fun times when love went really, really wrong for all of us, shall we? Thank you.
No. Oh, no. Oh, no. Where are those happy days? They seem so hard to find. I try to reach for you, but you have closed your mind. Whatever happened to our love? I wish I understood. Used to be so nice, it used to be so good. When you're near me, darling, can't you hear me? I said, S-O-S. The love you gave me, nothing else could save me. I said, when you're gone, how can I even try to go on? When you're gone, though I try, how can I carry on? Do you remember the 21st night of September? Love was changing the minds of this pretender. While chasing the clouds away, hearts were ringing in the key that our souls were singing as we danced in the moonlight. Stars stole the night away. dancing the night away. Was changing the mind of this pretender, while chasing the skies away.
I'm glad you liked that, because I just love that song. I mean, I remember hearing it as a kid, you know, hearing September. I mean, if you don't jump out of your skin and start dancing around the walls, you are dead. Because, I mean, that is one of the greatest, most joy. I mean, obviously, I've just, you know, taken all the joy and life out of it. But that was my job. But who ever thought that this song could become something of an explanation as to what women used to be like, how we were told to behave, how we were told, I guess, it's in the whole Me Too thing. And by the way, I think men are part of Me Too as well, because men get bullied as much as women. But one is on a sexual level, and one is on a, you know, physically abusive level. I mean, we all know this. But as a woman, and that's all I can say and speak of, I remember being brought up to just say, look, just suck it up. I mean, not literally suck it up, but you know what I'm saying? I mean, it was just like, sorry, that was on film, and it's awful. We can cut that later in this editing. The idea was, it's tough, get over it. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying, girls? It's just like, hey, everybody goes through this. Big deal, you know, get over it. Boo-hoo-hoo. That was really it. That was it when I was a kid. It's a guy, so what? Get over it. Who thought that Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons would become an anthem for Me Too? Trying to get my damn thing so it's right. There's that fly. What is going on? Are you my grandmother come back to life? What the hell is going on here? What?
told his girl they had to break up. He really thought, yes, he thought that she would call his bluff. But then she said, to his great surprise, well, big girls don't cry. Shame on you, her mama said. Shame on you, you cried in your bed. I heard you, shame on you, you told a lie. Big girls don't cry.
I'm going to finish with two of my own songs because I must. So imagine my joy. In Britain, there is this TV station called Channel 4 that does the most hideous TV, train wreck TV. Things like Naked Attraction, three people who are seen first from the... They're naked, behind a screen. First, you see them up to their waist, naked. One person chooses, then up to their chin, and then lastly their face. And that's the basis of the show. It's gorgeous. And you hear people saying things like, yes, I don't know. I like a little less skin on the penis. It's appalling, appalling. And I hit gold one night, and I saw something that said, sex bots. A documentary about the making of and the world that is ahead of us for the sex bot industry, which I'm fascinated by because they've come a long way, people, let me tell you. You can choose the skin, the size of the breasts, of course you can, the angles, the look. They're now talking like that too. You are everything to me. I could never want more than another man. And they say things, it's great. And and they're like $250,000 and they're very, very expensive. And you don't, you know, this is not on a whim. You know, don't feel bad, guys, in the room. It's all like, it's, you know, I get it. And I'm watching this and I'm thinking, well, fair enough. You're a lonely bloke. You don't have a partner. You're on your own. You need sex. You don't want to go with a hooker. It's all dangerous, blah, blah, blah. Fair enough, I thought. Why be so judgmental? Because, you know, I am judgmental. That's who I am. I'm judgmental. That's my, by the way, don't you think that'd be great? Judgmental. Because I am. And I'm judgy. And the British announcer says, but what about the man who doesn't have the 250,000? What about your normal, your average kind of Joe? Cut to, man in Florida. He didn't have that kind of cash. But luckily, from somewhere around the 25 grand, I can't quite remember what it was, he'd managed to find himself a secondhand sex bot. Now... I'm thinking there's a lot of mileage on that. That's what my first thought is. There's mileage on that thing, isn't there? Really? He says, no worries, all the parts are removable. He does. He takes the part out. You know, there's two parts that count. Come on, gents and ladies. Three, actually, if you're going to be clinical, but one of them almost merges into one. So anyway, so they take him out, wash. He's got the steel mitt. Now I'm so in. I'm so into this show. I'm just like, I never want to stop watching this. So I think, look again. Just calm down, Judith. He's a lonely guy. He's figured it out. Fair enough. Let him go. Let him have fun. Then, you see them in the park. He's taken her to the park. He carries her, sits him next to her, poses her. Hand on his leg, looking into his face. I'm like, this is weird. No, it's getting weird, isn't it? It's getting weird. Carries her back, watching TV at home. It's getting weirder. And for the first time, the camera, it just pans out. And at the back of the kitchen, there's a woman sitting with this face. It's his wife. Thank you. Lost the room. It's his wife. I've got pillows over my face. I'm in so much physical pain. I'm in so much pain, but I'm loving it. And they say to her, how do you feel about this relationship with, I can't even remember the woman's name, the bot's name. And she says, well, the way I see it, as long as he's not running away with some real live human woman, I'm okay. And so I wrote this song, and it is indeed called Secondhand Sex Bot. Pretend you never heard me sing September, right? Just pretend this is who I really am now.
Certain needs, well, love my wife, love my home and my family. Don't have looks, don't have cash, and my smile's bent. I'd admit I don't shine in that department, so I read up and looked at the prices. You might think that it's just a midlife crisis, but silicone, silly man, acting like a boy, wearing love, and she's more than just a toy. I've got a secondhand sex bot. A secondhand sex bot. Living in my house. Living in my house. In the park where I sit and I pose her, no one knows her and people stare cause she's a thing to see. Well, okay, so her mouth never closes. I smell the roses cause when she looks at me. After food, we might take in some TV. Hold my hand tight if it's something scary. Well, I don't mind if my wife wants to join us. We're such a happy family. We're the secondhand sex bar. And disinfected, so I've got such peace of mind, and she's pure again. So when I'm in, the feeling's really more than fine. And when we're done and overcome, I look at her and she's trying to tell me I could almost love you. Certain needs, well, told my wife from the start I would never leave her, and I'd say on the whole she's relieved. Well, I don't look for a woman with those human needs. She's secure knowing I'm always faithful, watching there from behind our kitchen table. Judges wish she would look happy for me from now on. Oh, it's just the three of us.
secondhand sex bot. Living in my house, living in my
coming to this salon. This has been such a joy. Mistakes, warts and all, this has been absolutely an absolute joy. We are actually, of course we're going to do another song. It's a song I wrote for Harry because after many, many years of torturing him, I mean, not physically, you know, that would be wrong, but I mean, kind of mental torture, I told you, judge, mental. Because Harry Wood isn't the sort of guy that ever thinks that you should do things because you're told, like Valentine's, you know, it's a Hallmark holiday, it's about, you know, it's people making money on cards, but it affects me off that he wouldn't, you know, at least attempt to buy me a card or a flower. But no, he stood proud, he stood tall, and I made his life a living hell every year because of it. And then after about 15 years of marriage, I realised he was right. He was right. It's about how you are to the person every day that you're with them. It's about the bickering every day, isn't it, Harry? I couldn't say you're right, or I'm sorry, because those words, they can't actually form in my mouth. And they hurt. So I wrote this song, and I mean it with all my heart, because you are the best. Harry Shearer, come on. No, no, no. My man, he don't show it on the outside. My man likes to keep it on the inside. I know. Don't go for all these lengthy phone calls. When he's here, oh, he says it all, and that's why I love my baby. You know that's why I love my baby. I say that's why I love my baby, and I do, I do. My man, he don't buy me cards and flowers, no, no. Diamond rings, none of that Hallmark stuff. Don't go thinking that he's got it easy, cause every day, baby aims to please me. That's why I love my baby. You know that's why I love my baby. I say that's why I love my baby. You know that's why, you know that's why, you know that's why, you know that's why I love him. I say that's why. It's a joy in praying for war. Baby, just a stick. Thank you. My man, he don't show it on the outside. My man keeps it on the inner side. I know. Don't think he's got no style, 'cause every day, every day, every day, every day, baby makes me smile.
Judith Owens' Musical Salon at the Macaroni Palace in New Orleans, Louisiana, was recorded by Gabriel Nicoltra with the assistance of Mallory McAvoy. Production assistance came from Pam Halstead, as usual, and the whole thing was wrangled together by Steve Lee. Judith returns to New Orleans for Jazz Fest. May 4th, Saturday, May 4th, 2:55 p.m. at the Lagniappe stage, with a whole bunch of New Orleans musicians in tow. I'll be back next week with a fresh, regular edition of the show. Be just like you clapping along if you'd agree to join with me then, would you?
My man, he don't show it on the outside. Well, my man, he keeps it on the inside, I know. Well, don't think he's got no style. Every day I make him smile, and that is why. You know that is why.
The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of WWNO New Orleans, flagship station of the Change is Easy radio network.